My name is Terry Lynch. I'm with Oregon Ufology. I found myself searching for a passageway one day. And that passageway leads right across the section of the Cascades, which I'm sitting in front of at the moment. On top of one feet, I want to make sure that everybody sees the type of things that we find in the process of research for ufology. I have located a couple that's sitting here on the top of the line of peak. She's facing south. She's looking north.
The middle. Cascadia Guides. A Let's production. In conjunction with Alien Strand Films.
Guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
I'm at the foot of the ladder. The limb footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches. Although the surface appears to be very, very fine-grained as you get close to it. It's almost like a powder down there. It's very fine. And then step off the limb now. That's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
Christy, Texas, and you're listening to the Alien Strand podcast with Donald Ledesma. Buying or selling, visit me at kellygreenrealtor.com or visit me on my Facebook page, Kelly Green Realtor. See you there.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Alien Strand podcast. I'm your host, Donald Ledesma. Welcome to today's show. Yeah, it's going to be another good one today. You know, it's been such a hectic time that we're going through right now. And, you know, it's a lot of times that we just tend to forget what's going on around us as well. You know, as far as like things of the unknown, right? So what we try to do here, you know, of course we pay attention to the world, what's happening, and we always want to stay close to that. But what we want to do is educate you as well, right? And that's what Alien Strand is all about, right? So you can catch us on Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and alienstrand.com. You know, check us out there. You know, we have a lot of lot of information on alienstrand.com too as well. I've updated a few things there. And, of course, the Facebook page is booming. Totally booming, man. We have like 10,500 followers or so by now. And thank you, guys. I really do appreciate that. You know, Alien Strand podcast page is a podcast page. I just want to remind everybody of that. And it's a business page for the podcast. So it's not a group or any kind of thing like that. So what we do here is we put out all the information as it comes in on a daily basis. Sometimes a lot of these things that we put out, you know, somebody will comment right away and say, hey, you know, that was debunked. And what we try to do is we try to, you know, change that, you know, as fast as possible and post an update. So please, before you leave a comment on alienstrand.com, even on Instagram or anywhere, you know, read the description. And even where it says read more, click that little button and there will be an update at the very bottom sometimes. So people will comment right away and after the update's been done. And we just want everybody to know exactly what they're seeing as far as anomalies, crafts, you know, even Bigfoot or even anything that's we just don't understand, right? So we just want to get that out, you know, and I want to, like I said, welcome everybody to Alien Strand Podcast. You can catch us at, on all these pages. If you want to be on the show, you can catch us at 361-245-8000. Again, that's 361-245-8000. If you got pictures or anything, just email us. It's on our page. You know, if you want to be on the show, you can email us there too. You can even text us. You know, if you got any information or any pictures, videos, send texts on that number as well. So, you know, and don't be shy, you know, get up on the show and we'll get you on there, tell your story, you know, and because we're a big family here at Alien Strand, and that's what we try to do is introduce everybody to the unknown and ufology, right? And there's a lot of new people out there that just came into ufology, and if you are, well, welcome. Welcome to ufology at Alien Strand. We're a big family here and we all work together. And speaking of working together, I got my good friend, Terry Lynch. He's a ufologist there in Oregon. And as you heard at the beginning of the commercial of this podcast, we're doing a film there in a few months. It's getting closer now. So we'll be heading up there and we're going to do a documentary on the middle, right? So, and that's going to be a very interesting podcast. It's going to have a lot of ufology, a lot of information on things that coincide together, on the anomalies that they see up there in Oregon and in different areas too, as well as Arizona and New Mexico. You know, I'm going to have special guests on there that are going to be talking as far as interviews. So we're going to have a lot of information on that documentary as it comes out. And as soon as we film it, of course, it's going to take a few months for it to come out. All right. So that's because of editing and all that other good stuff that we have to get out there before the actual product of the documentary comes out. Okay. So just be patient there. And speaking of special occasions and documentaries, I did, like I said, do an interview back in November. I was in the San Antonio area. They invited me over there, and I was able to do a small interview for a documentary as well. So that'll probably be coming out here pretty soon. It's already sneaking up about that time. So if you do see me on film or on one of these documentary films, give me a thumbs up or say hi to me, you know, here at Alien Strand. You know, we'd like to get that feedback, you know, if you do see me on that show. And I really do appreciate them for interviewing me and getting me all the information that I was able to give them on what we know about abductions and all that good stuff with UFOs and extraterrestrials. You know, today, like I said, I always like to bring in different subjects and different things of the unknown and of the known as well, right? And I always wanted to talk about this because people don't really talk about it as much as far as the, you know, things in the sky, right? Planetary things and, you know, which is our moon. So our moon is very, very important and I think that it's some things that we take for granted, you know, every day, right? Every day we take this for granted. We're just trying to, we just look at the sky and say, okay, well, there it is, right? We don't think much about it. But I do. And there is a lot of information on the moon, and that's what they call the Luna too, which is this episode number 74 called Lunar Life, right? Because without it, without the moon or the Luna, we would have a totally different life or no life at all, right? So, and I'm going to get you in this podcast, I'm going to give you a lot of information that will help you understand about the moon, its properties, how it got there, how it coexists with us as human beings, how it changes us, right? How it works with animals, mammals, things in the ocean, how it controls a lot of things that we take for granted on a daily basis, right? So the moon is Earth's natural satellite. It's about the quarter diameter of the Earth. Pretty much compared to the width of Australia, right? It lacks significant atmosphere, hydrosphere, and a magnetic field. It doesn't have these things. Its surface gravity is about 1/6 of the Earth's, right? So it barely has anything. And Jupiter's moon is the, which is called Io, is the only satellite in the solar system known to have a higher surface of gravity and density. In other words, if you land on that moon, you know, you have a little bit more gravitational because it pulls you down towards the ground. You won't be jumping and floating around. It orbits Earth the average distance of 238,900 miles, right? Or about 30 times the Earth's diameter. Its gravitational slightly lengthens Earth's day. And it's the main driver of Earth's tides, right? When we get their tides that go up and down. The moon, it orbits around Earth and has a sidereal period of 27.3 days, right? So that's what we counted in on our full moons, quarter moons, so we know that it's coming. They say that the moon formed about 4.51 billion years ago, not long after Earth. The giant impact between the planet and a hypothesized Mars was a sized body called Theia, right? So Theia, in other words, what they're trying to tell you here is that when the Earth, billions of years ago, before it was even a solid landmass or solid object, it was like a blob, right? Just like what you would see in, let's just put it this way, like space, a drop of water, when you see it kind of bubbling and kind of goes into different shapes as it's spinning. So they're saying it was probably like this, and a big piece of asteroid or whatever collided with that blob of water. Like, so if you see two blobs of water in space hit each other, they're going to collide and makes a different form. And that's pretty much what they're saying here. So most of the large impact basins of the surface were in place by the end of the Iberian period, okay? This was 3 million years ago. The lunar surface is non-reflective. But they say it's a little bit, it's a slight higher, the reflection on the moon. It's a little bit brighter than worn asphalt. That's what they're trying to say here. The first object to reach the moon was a Soviet Union called Luna 2 with an uncrewed spacecraft in 1959, right? This was followed by the first successful soft landing by Luna 9 in 1966. So the only human lunar mission to date was by the United States with the Apollo program, which landed 12 men on the surface of the moon between 1969 and 1972. So the United States was the only ones that actually had men or human beings on the moon. And the structure of it body was initially hydrostatic equilibrium. But since they departed from its condition, right? This is the structure, the internal structure of the moon. It has a geochemically distinct crust and mantle of core, right? So on the crust of the outside of the moon, they were saying that when I spoke about how the Earth was like a blob, right? And when that piece impacted with it, they said that the dust or the matter that came off of the Earth after, when it collided with it, when it was before Earth in a sense, that turned into the outer surface dust, which is the dust on the moon, which is what they're finding is they're finding small traces of Earth on that moon, right? So they're saying that this Theia, it was called Theia, is like almost a chunk that hit the Earth, and it was a blob as well. When it hit the Earth and collided, right? It's a blob. It's like liquid. As it hardened, it showed properties of the Earth, which is, you know, what it has now. So the moon is solid iron rich. Its inner core was at a radius possibly smaller than 150 miles. The fluid inner core is primarily made of liquid iron with the radius of 190 miles. Around the core, particularly molten boundary of layer with the radius about 310 miles. This structure is thought to have been developed through the fractal crystallization of global magma. It's a global magma ocean shortly after the moon's formation 4.5 million years ago, right? So this is exactly what I was explaining about the moon. And the moon does have volcanic features as well, right? So the dark, featureless lunar plains, clearly that we can see with the naked eye, in other words, the dark spots, are now called Maria, Latin for seas, right? As they once believed that they were filled with water, they are now known to be vast solid pools of ancient ballistic lava. Basaltic, I'm sorry. So we always see those impact craters as well, right? So there's a process that had affected the moon's surface. And it has all the craters, right? The craters formed when asteroids and comets collide with the lunar surface. And they're estimated to be roughly about 300,000 craters, about 0.6 miles of the moon's near side. In other words, these craters are pretty big. They look small to us when we see them from a distance. But it was a lot of impacts, right, that has had over millions of years. And of course, as I talked about before, the tidal effects of it, right? So it's called the gravitational attraction. That masses have far one another decreases inversely with the squared distance of the masses of each other. As a result of this, there's a slightly greater attraction that the moon has on the side of the Earth that's closest to the moon, right? In which results in tidal forces, right? So the forces affect both of the Earth's crust and the ocean. So while it pulls forward and backwards in a sense by spinning, when it comes to that cycle, of course, our tides are going up and down. Has a lot to do with that, right? So between 1959 and 1970s, the first human arrival with the robotic Soviet Luna, 1958, right, to the 1970s, was one of the last missions crewed by the U.S. Apollo landings and the Luna mission in 1976. It was the Cold War inspired the space race we always hear about, right? Between the Soviet Union and the United States, led to an acceleration of interest in exploration of the moon. Once launchers had the necessary capabilities, these nations sent unscrewed probes on both flyby and impact and lunar missions, right? Great space race that we were doing back then. So let's see who gets to the moon first. But we want to see what it's made of, how far it is. Well, they sent those probes out there first because they didn't want to take a chance on humans losing their lives. If they didn't know what was going to be the right calculations, so they used these probes, which was a smart thing to do, right? So the spacecraft from the Soviet Union lunar program was the first accomplished a number of its goals, followed by unnamed failed missions in 1958. So they still were trying it, but they didn't name these missions, which was the Soviet Union. So Neil Armstrong was the first person to walk on the moon as the commander of the American mission Apollo 11, by first setting 1 foot on the moon at 2:56. On July 21st, 1969. So there was an estimated of 500 million people worldwide watched this transmission by the Apollo TV camera. It was the largest television audience for the live broadcast at the time. Imagine that. So now we have planned commercial missions. In 2007, there was an XPRIZE Foundation, together with Google, launched the Google Lunar XPRIZE to encourage commercial endeavors to the moon, with a prize of $20 million was awarded to the first private venture to get to the moon without a robotic lander by the end of March 2018. With an additional prize worth of $10 million for further milestones, right? On August 2016, 16 teams were reported to be participating in this competition. In January 2018, the foundation announced that the prize would go to an unclaimed, and none of the finalist teams would be able to make a launch attempt by the deadline. On August 2016, the U.S. government granted permission to the U.S.-based startup Moon Express to land on the moon. This marked the first time that a private enterprise was given the right to do so, right? The decision is regarded as proceeding and helping define regulatory standards for deep space and commercial activity for the future. Previously, private companies were restricted to operating and on or around Earth. November 29th, 2018, NASA announced that 9 commercial companies would compete to win the contract to send small payloads to the moon, to be known as the Commercial Lunar Payload Services, according to NASA Administrator Jim Bernstein. He says, "We are building a domestic American capability to get back and forth to the surface of the moon." So, in that sense, we're listening to the history of the moon and what it, how it started, what it was about, what it's made of, right? And it's a lot of information that sometimes we just take for granted because we just look up in the sky and, yeah, it's there. We did it. But it there's different things about the moon that changes people at times. And what we think it does and what it actually does do to humans, to animals. But before we get into it, we're going to take a quick break, hear from our sponsors, and we'll get right back to you. Welcome back. And thank you for listening to our sponsors and coming back to the show. As I was explaining about the moon and its history and historical values and everything that happened in the past, from the landings to unmanned landings, right? We had all that information. And there's like a lot of facts about the moon, right? The moon has different names and seasons, right? So like the harvest moon is called the autumn equinox. The wolf moon is the first full moon. Then we have a strawberry moon, which is in June. Then we have a sturgeon moon, which is in August, right? And did you know the moon is the perfect size for an eclipse? It's the right size and the right distance. So when we see that eclipse, it's exactly the size that covers the moon and gives us that ring, right? How does something happen like that so perfectly? It's almost like it's too good to be true, right? So it's the largest moon relative to its own planet, which is the quarter size of Earth. The surface of the moon is about 14 it's 2159 miles, right? 2159 miles. The moon is shaped like a lemon. So earlier, scientists thought that the moon dust would cause lunar landings to sink in 1966. This is why they were waited for a while before they sent a probe there. So when the Soviet Union Luna number 9 landed there, it proved that wrong, right? So the moon is the intentional is international property. Of course, Buzz and Neil planted the flag, the American flag, there in 1969 as well. But the moon belongs to the world. So in 1967, they did a space treaty, right? So this document of the moon and it gives you like global commons, right? So what they're trying to say here is that they made it in a global scale to where if anybody was to land on the moon, that they would use whatever they found for the good of the world, right? Anything that would add to our research and development of the moon and how we can get more information, right? So they made this little treaty about the moon. I mean, humans even left things on the moon as far as the flag, right? They've left two golf balls on the moon. They left an obscene Warhol doodle. They left a message from the Queen Elizabeth II. From Apollo 17, Eugene traced his daughter's face on the soil in 1972. So there's no wind or weather on the surface of the moon, right? So this thing that he traced on the moon will stay on the surface forever, unless somebody disturbs it or something. So now we get into the dark side of the moon, which is locked into a synchronization and a rotation, right? The same side, in other words, faces the planet as it spins around the Earth. Doesn't move, stays in its orbit. Which we always see the same side of the moon. That's why they call it the dark side. Nobody's been on the other side of the moon except 2019, the Chinese sent a lunar probe called the Chang 4. And it sent photos of the dark side crater. Even one astronaut, Harrison Schmitt, had a small allergic reaction to the moon dust. When he took his suit off, his eyes were burning. Skin was burning, couldn't stop sneezing for about 2 hours. But he had an allergic reaction to the actual moon dust. Let's talk a little bit about what the moon, what we think and what it probably does to us as humans, how it affects us. In a sense, during full moons. So the word lunatic, it's a root word meaning luna, from the moon. The word lunatic is someone who went crazy with every phase of the moon. In the Middle Ages, they called this moon sick. One study says that 81% of mental health professionals believe that the full moon can make people ill. A full moon causes swift upticle in emergency rooms, which means the visits of mental health admissions, right? So they have like a... During a full moon, usually they say the emergency room gets a little bit fuller, gets more people, and it's usually with the people who are having this kind of small mental conditions, which they have found and proven that. This goes back as far as 400 BC. Physicians, philosophers, blame behavioral changes on the pull of the moon. So they were even having these issues back then. They were figuring it out that the moon has some kind of effect on us human beings. Of course, with the oceans, the tides rise and fall with the moon's phases, right? Marine species in the ocean, they have reproductive cycles that are timed to the lunar cycles. In other words, when the moon is full, they have a higher reproductive scale on creatures in the ocean. In 2014, analysis of men that were associated with less deep sleep and increased REM latency, which is rapid eye movement. If you want to learn more about rapid eye movement, just visit my episode number 49. It's called Sleep Paralysis. I get into a deep discussion or analogies on REM sleep. So women sleep less and less during REM sleep or during a full moon. This was a 2015 study. Right, so if you're gonna go out in the town with the guys, don't do it during the full moon. Joke. So your blood pressure drops about 5 millimeters during a full moon as well. Many have increased anxiety, bipolar disorder, depression, and schizophrenia during a full moon. These things have increased. Spontaneous deliveries of humans and cows from the new moon to the full moon phase, right? So babies are being born. Calves are being born faster during a full moon. And it decreases a little until the waning crescent stage, right? Throughout the moon's cycle. When it hits the crescent stage, well, then there's not more deliveries of babies or even cattle. So they're putting all this, that study was done in Japan, I believe. So that's where they got that information from. They did it a while back. Kind of connected the dots on that one. So now we know that the moon affects us in different ways. It affects our psyche, affects our oceans, it affects animals, it affects marine life. So what would happen without the moon, right? Nights would be darker. A day on Earth would only last 6 to 12 hours. And there could be only 1,000 days in a year as the rotation of the Earth slows. So no more 365 days. We're going to 1,000 days. without the moon. Tides will rise about one-third as high as they are now. We will have no lunar eclipse. Earth's axis would tilt over time. In other words, would give us wild weather. No seasons because of that. So the moon, they would say without it, we would have no stepping stone to the universe. As the moon showed us how far it is, how long it is, how long it takes a rocket ship to get there to the moon. The moon is like a practice run, right? And it's there to explore our solar system. And I think we all forget that at times. Because it brings humanity and Earth together. Let's not forget about that. And last but not least, UFOs and the moon. So in 1960, NASA commissioned the Brookings Research Institute in Washington to prepare a report on the likelihood of encountering extraterrestrial life and detail how NASA UFO sightings could be handled. It was the final 219-page report published in 1960, which was titled Proposed Studies on the Implication of Peaceful Space Activities and Human Affairs. One section was dedicated to implications of the discovery of extraterrestrial life. This study is referred to the Brookings Report. This report predicted if extraterrestrial life was discovered, it could bring about profound changes or even the collapse of a civilization. The report noted that the discovery could come at any time and at any admission of UFO activity incite fear to the public. If suggested that evidence of alien existence might be found in artifacts left on the moon or other planets. So this report was questioned to the public, and it should be told about any encounters, right? Whether the information should be withheld from the public or for what it ends, right? This report may have influenced NASA to continue its policy of secrecy to hide the public conversation involving NASA, Armstrong, Aldrin, and the way the two astronauts stepped foot on the moon's surface. How many times have we heard that story? So the first 2 minutes of the official transmission of Aldrin and Armstrong with the first step on the moon are silent. NASA officials claimed a TV camera malfunctioned and destroyed the audio. However, others beg to differ. Those who were on the mission command as well as radio operations who heard the transmission both agree that the sound was not obliterated. It was covered up by NASA. Aldrin actually reported that we saw some visitors, he says. They were there for a while. There were other spaceships. They've landed there, he said, and they are watching us. NASA tried to keep this transmission a secret and denied it that it ever occurred. So there's another situation where there's a photo analysis team. They're called the United Family of Anomaly Hunters, right? According to the page, the United Family of Anomaly Hunters, which is called UFAH, is a nonprofit organization with active members around the world. They go on to say that the sole purpose to help disclosure of the citizens of Earth about the past civilizations of the planets and the moons in the solar system. They primarily focus on Mars because it's the most data to work with so far. But they still investigate anomalies in our entire system, right? To date, the UFAH has cataloged over 58,000 photos, all showing this type of anomaly. Collections has come from the archives of NASA, some archives from both European and Indian space agencies. Photos present compelling evidence that structures exist on Mars and on the moon and could only have built by intelligent life. So when the bookings report was published more than 50 years ago, the world was a different place. Space exploration technology was still at its early phases. The prospect of sending humans to the moon was still a dream. A lot has changed since 1960. Three countries have landed on the moon, and the Internal Space Station orbits the planet and the U.S. landed a rover on Mars, right? So we have all that going on now. We still need more information, especially beyond NASA's scope. And the Brookings report is long overdue for a revisit, right? I believe this as well. So the moon holds a lot of information as well. I mean, throughout Alien Strand, and since we started this in early 2019, and even the footage that we see even before 2019 of anomalies on the moon, ships passing by, fleets passing by of these crafts. A lot of things cannot be denied on those senses. Do we have Starlink? Yes. Does it mimic this anomaly? Yes. Starlink doesn't separate and fly in different directions, right? It stays in a straight line. That's how we know that it's possibly Starlink. Or not. Was the moon put perfectly in our spot as a middle place, right? We've talked about it before when we talked about the Anunnaki, stories of the Anunnaki. They were saying they were using the moon, in a sense, as a midpoint when they were going back and forth, the Nibiru to Earth. So the moon was a midpoint. Not a midpoint, but it was a stopping area for them, which the stories go. Through Zechariah Sitchin, right? So the moon had a sense part of that historical value of what they were talking about when they were talking about, you know, Anunnaki. So I wanted to bring all this information to you because I wanted you to understand what the moon does to humans, to animals, to tides, and how important it is to have this object to wake up. You're working all night and you wake up and you still see it early in the morning. We you work all day. By the time you get home, you're sitting there looking up at the sky. You see the bright moon. There's a reason for it to be there. And without it, our world would be so different. Who knows if we would survive that? So it's something to think about. Even with extraterrestrial life as well. So we all know that all this information is out there that they've thought about this too, right? Why would they even implement in putting this in there if they didn't even think that extraterrestrial life was there or was a possibility? Just like we're seeing all the images in Mars, things of what could be, structures, rafts, things left behind by a previous past. So these are some important things that I dotted on because I want you guys to understand and know exactly what we're looking at when we're looking at the sky every day. Or at night. The moon is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have. And without it, we wouldn't have our seasons. Just think about that. Well, I'm glad you guys stuck around for this podcast today. I know you waited a little while. But as things happen, here at Alien Strand, we get busy. We get start doing a lot of information. Getting more and more things out there. Getting productions ready for our documentary. I really hope you guys enjoyed this podcast today. I really did. There was a lot of information there that, you know, I didn't even know too. So it's very informative. You know, you can catch us on 24, 25 platforms, 26 now. We're on Amazon now. So anywhere you find Alien Strand out there, hit a like, thumbs up, follow, hit a heart there on your iHeartRadio. Follow us there. Give us a comment too on this post, on this episode if you really like this episode. I really enjoyed this and giving out this information. It's like a class, right? You get to learn a lot of good stuff while you're listening to Alien Strand. And you also get to hear about extraterrestrials too. So I did not leave them out because those little guys are important as well. You know, just like all of you guys are important to us here at Alien Strand. And like I said, we really do appreciate you guys. Please share these posts. Share posts from Alien Strand. Share our podcast, especially for Alien Strand. You know, tell your friends about it, you know, and that way they can share it with them. And we'll get a big, big happy family with Alien Strand. And, you know, we just keep it all alive and keep it going. And, you know, we have a small donation page there on the alienstrand.com. You want to donate a little bit there to keep us going, you know, keep this stuff going for free. Because I don't want you guys to pay for it. You know, I want you to have it for free, you know. But it costs, right? So if you can, hit our donate page there on alienstrand.com. And that'll help the cause here and it'll help give us more information as it comes along, all right? But until then, you guys have yourselves a good day. Have yourselves a good evening. And have yourselves a good night.
What's up, guys? This is Mike Beavers from The Theory, and you are listening to Alien Strand Podcast, the dopest UFO alien podcast out there. And if you want to find out about me, just go on YouTube and search UFOs over UFO or The Theory with Mike Beavers. Stay tuned, guys.